蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
被出卖的感觉，我想每个人或多或少的都经历了一些。有的时候并不是对方暗地里做了什么伤害你的事情，而是在整个过程当中他一直保持沉默，只字不提，也不采取任何具体的行动，就任凭你像个傻子一样的自我抗争。等到之后事情结束了，当你发现原来这个人什么都知道，却什么都没有做，这个时候你也会有一种被出卖的感觉，对吗？这里是良友电台的中英双语节目蓝天绿洲 Haven Today， 我是乐心。
Welcome to Haven Today. I'm Charles Morris, sharing the great story, and we're in a series that called the John Challenge. It hurts to be betrayed, doesn't it? A friend turns their back on you, or a co-worker makes up lies about you.The young women and gymnasts in Michigan know about great betrayal. Their doctor violated one of the most sacred contracts in our society, that a doctor can be trusted. Betrayal hurts on so many levels, and Jesus knew the greatest betrayal of all. Remember that group?A Christian rock group, Petra, and their song from 1982 called Judas Kiss. In a moment, we're going to turn to John 18, and that is where Judas betrays his Lord. It's a real tragedy. Judas turns out to have been a double agent, and he sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. But it didn't come as a surprise to our Lord. It was all part of the great plan of redemption. So stay with me.And let's see how God was able to take something evil and use it for good, our good.
当耶稣和他最亲密的朋友共享最后一个逾越节的晚餐时，耶稣忽然抛出了一句惊人的话语。在他身旁的十二个人当中，有一个就会在今天晚上把他出卖了。门徒彼此对望，不知道耶稣说的这个人到底是谁。是我吗？是我吗？门徒一个个地问耶稣，这就显示了他们心里的不安还有惧怕。要知道，在那个充满阴谋的耶路撒冷，出卖可不是什么新鲜的观念了。谁知道有多少的门徒曾被耶稣的仇敌接触过呢？谁又知道有哪个门徒曾经被耶稣的仇敌派来侦探耶稣的行踪呢？最后的晚餐就是笼罩在这样危机的气氛下进行的。今天来到约翰福音的18章，我们看到的是耶稣在克西马尼园被捕，然后呢被带到了大祭司的院子受审。在整个过程里，如果我们静下心来慢慢的读，真的会觉得非常的心痛。耶稣基督神的儿子，从这一刻开始就真正的开始为世人的罪受审判了。尽管他是无辜的、无罪的，尽管他的权柄可以叫12营的天使为他征战，但是他却毅然选择了顺服父的意思，成为了替罪的羔羊。看啊，神的羔羊，除去世人罪孽的。
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted.I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Yeah. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Yeah. Amazing love, I know
This is Haven Today and a program called The John Challenge, You Are My King by New Song. Betrayal, confusion, and interrogation. All experiences you and I have had in one way or another, and Jesus knows what it is like. In a moment, we're going to look at how this plays out in John 18. But first, I want you to hear from Janet, who lives in Florida.
Being part of a short-term mission team to Guatemala, we were asked to write an encouraging word inside a Spanish Bible that would be given to a pastor or a member of the local church. I received the name of the pastor and was struggling with what to write inside. My daughter awoke in the morning with an idea to make a handcrafted t-shirt for my birthday. Knowing I was going to Guatemala, she made me a shirt with my grandson's handprints on like a vine with John 15:5 in Spanish on it. She overnighted it to me in the mail. It arrived the day before going to Guatemala. It was the verse I needed for the Bible. I presented the Bible to the pastor wearing my shirt and sharing the story. He was, as well as the team, greatly encouraged, and it started out our time in Guatemala remembering how we could bear fruit connected to the vine. We need to remain in the vine, Jesus.
Thanks for sharing with us on the program today, Janet. And what about you? I'm Charles Morris here on Haven Today. Jesus came to teach. We all know that, don't we? But that was not the main reason he came. He came to die. And in the passage we're looking at today, we begin the final journey that leads to his crucifixion. It was a setup. If you remember back to chapter 13 of John, you'll recall that Jesus knew he would be betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. Judas was a mercenary. Call him a double agent. Jesus knew that. And we get hints of it throughout John's story to us. Jesus called him a devil in chapter 6. John told us that Judas was a thief who didn't care for the poor in chapter 12. John loves to contrast darkness and light all the way through this book. Jesus is the light of men, the light of the world. Sinful humans remain in the darkness because they hate the light. Remember what John says as Judas leaves the upper room in John 13? Judas went out, it was night. Throughout the gospel, we're told what kind of person Judas is. Let's listen to the beginning of John 18 from the Gospel of John DVD.
After Jesus had said this prayer, he left with his disciples and went across Kidron Brook. There was a garden in that place, and Jesus and his disciples went in. Judas, the traitor, knew where it was, because many times Jesus had met there with his disciples. So Judas went to the garden, taking with him a group of Roman soldiers and some temple guards sent by the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were armed and carried lanterns and torches. Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him. So he stepped forward and asked them,
"Who is it you are looking for?"
"Jesus of Nazareth."
Judas the traitor was standing there with them when Jesus said to them,
"I am he."
They moved back and fell to the ground.
A powerful scene from the Gospel of John DVD, a word-for-word presentation from the Bible. It's well-produced, and it's a great way to teach someone about Jesus. In John 18, Judas shows his true colors. He's a traitor, leading a band of soldiers right to his rabbi, right to Jesus, the teacher. Judas had agreed to do this for 30 pieces of silver. That was a lot of money back then. And he did that so they could unjustly arrest him. Jesus knew it was coming. He's the one who initiated the conversation. But just like when he wept outside Lazarus' tomb, he must have felt betrayed by Judas. In John 13, he washed the feet of Judas. This was one of his closest companions during his earthly ministry. But Judas, in the end, wasn't interested. He sold out for silver coins. It hurts to be betrayed, doesn't it? When someone who's supposed to be your friend turns on you, it stings deeply. Jesus felt that sting as well.
曾经呢，他还流行过一阵子。现在已经不会再有人用这个名字了。没有一个父母会给自己的儿女取一个历史上最臭名的出卖者的名字。那么，犹大怎么会出卖耶稣呢？从广义上来讲，当耶稣被抓走的时候，他的门徒全都溜走逃散了，所有的门徒都背叛了他，彼得更是严重。 他三次不承认自己认识耶稣。犹大出卖的行为只是说在程度上略有不同，但是在本质上和其他的那些不忠的门徒差别并不是很大。有些人认为犹大贪爱钱财，另外有些人呢则是认为在耶稣被仇敌包围的时候，犹大因为恐惧，因为害怕，他为了能够自保 就进行了一笔交易。还有的人认为，犹大的梦醒了，他终于觉悟到，耶稣并不会兴起军队来对抗罗马，而这种缓慢的非暴力的革命方式，是犹大没有耐心去跟随的。或者呢，这一个出卖的举动，可以逼耶稣出手，让耶稣被迫宣告自己，并设立新的以色列国度。 人的理解可以很多，但是圣经却用了一句相当简单的话回答了这个问题：为什么犹大会出卖耶稣呢？因为撒旦进入了他的心中。这句话要怎么理解呢？撒旦今天是否能够进到信徒的生命中呢？以弗所说的六章最后讲到了属灵的军装，就提到了信心的盾牌， 说要拿起信心的盾牌，用来扑灭那恶者所有的火箭。那恶者指的就是撒旦。那么，撒旦的火箭是什么呢？ 可能呀，就是一个想法，一个意念的投射，一个在你耳边发出来的低低微微的声音。这个声音鼓励你听他的，鼓励你照着他的话去行。
And it wasn't just Judas who betrayed Jesus, it was also Peter. Peter followed in the distance after Jesus was arrested, going down the Kidron Valley and then on up to the other side to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. And here, outside the chief priest's home, three times Peter was recognized as one of Jesus' disciples, and three times he lied. He denied his Lord, and when all was said and done, Jesus had no friends there for him. They all abandoned him in his time of need, even Peter. And you know, it's easy to think how foolish they were looking back. This is Jesus we're talking about. But if I'm honest, I'm just like Judas and Peter. And maybe you are as well. Judas preferred stuff to Jesus. He traded his Christ, his Messiah, for financial gain. How often do I, and maybe you can relate, how often do we pursue financial security at the expense of our Lord and Savior? More often than I'd like to admit, that's for sure. Now Peter, he preferred status. He was embarrassed to be identified with this supposed criminal. Maybe he was afraid they'd treat him the same way, just like Jesus promised, if they hated me, they'll hate you. Peter chose to save face instead of stand up with Jesus. We have opportunities all around us to stand up for Jesus, but it's so easy to stand down, isn't it? When we see injustice or abuse or opposition to Jesus Christ, it's easier to just say nothing, do nothing, and Peter did nothing but lie. Before we see the good news of Jesus' death, we have to acknowledge our part in it. He came for our sin, not his own. So it's better, I think, to confess our sin. Jesus came for the sick, not the healthy, but this is not, thank God, the end of the story. It actually has to get a little worse before it gets a whole lot better. Jesus was betrayed and abandoned by his friends, and the religious authorities abandoned justice in their treatment of him. Truth did not matter. They had no substantial accusation. And when Pilate asked, they essentially said, "Trust us on this." You know, when you read this part of the story in the other Gospels, it tells us they even tried to get false witnesses to testify against Christ. So much for them obeying the law, but they couldn't find three people who would tell the same story wrong. Now, Pilate isn't known to be concerned about doing the right thing. He was actually extremely insensitive to Jewish custom and quite a ruthless governor. So it's ironic that he sees the injustice here. Even after he examined Jesus, he comes back and seeks his release. But I want to look at the conversation that he had with Jesus. Verse 36, Jesus saying, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And then Pilate came back in verse 38 by asking, "What is truth?" And with this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." Maybe you picked up on the strangeness of this scene. Jesus, the alleged criminal, standing before his litigator, talking about his kingdom. What audacity! But it's true. And Jesus would tell Pilate later that he wouldn't have any authority unless it had been given to him from above. That's one of the striking things. Even in the midst of the false accusations and unfair treatment and the interrogation that was brutal, Jesus stands as the king. It might look like Jesus is at the mercy of Pilate, and the religious elite of Jerusalem. But in fact, Jesus was right where he intended to be. Remember, he told us back in chapter 10, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down." Even at his most vulnerable, Jesus was in control. We need to hear that. And if Jesus is in control when his life seems to be a disaster, he's still in control when your life, my life, seem to be out of control. But in the face of all this sin, with all his friends abandoning him, the unfair interrogation and accusation, how does he respond? When we sin against him, like Judas, loving stuff, or Peter, loving status, or even the Pharisee and Pilate, thinking we can decide if Jesus deserves our acceptance, how do we know Jesus will accept us? Listen to the final two verses of John 18. Pilate's talking. "But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover." That was the festival going on. "But do you want me to release the King of the Jews?" And in verse 40, the chapter ends with all those religious leaders shouting back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." And Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Here again is Jesus, hated by the Jewish leaders, so much so that they would rather choose to let a convicted criminal go free than Jesus. Barabbas, an insurrectionist, in other translations. He was a revolutionary, in other words, tired of the Roman oppression and seeking a change immediately, but he was arrested for taking part in a riot against Rome. The Jews chose to let the criminal go instead of the Messiah. And that's just the point. Jesus takes the place of even criminals. You and I are criminals before our Heavenly Father, convicted for our own uprising, not against human rulers, maybe, but against the Lord of all. Yet Jesus stands in our place and lets the criminals go free. Now that is amazing grace. And it happens as Jesus faces the unjust hatred of men and the full justice of his Father's hatred of our sin. John 18 tells a bleak story, but it's also a story of hope. Jesus took our place, and by faith, we can go free. All because of the cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross
cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown.
Now that hymn is a classic. Chris Rice and his newer version of the old rugged cross here on this Haven Today.
在今天 Charles 的分享当中，我们看到了犹大的出卖，看到了彼得的出卖，也在巴拉巴的身上看到了我们每个人的影子。有一首诗歌是这样唱到的：愿我永远不要失去这份好奇，不要失去这份对十字架的好奇，愿我看他就如同初次见到一样，愿我好像失丧的罪人站在十字架的面前，愿我能够惊奇这十字架的代价。这歌词表达出来乐心录完今天节目之后的心情。我也盼望收听节目的你今天能够被耶稣钉十字架的救赎而得着，他是全然的无辜，却甘愿舍己替我们承受了罪的刑罚，也因此就将他的义归给了我们，让我们这些凡是相信他十字架救恩的人，罪孽得以赦免，污秽得以洗净，我们呢也可以与父神得以和好。这就是今天蓝天绿洲想和你分享的全部节目内容了。约翰福音我们已经来到了18章，最后还剩下3章的内容，我们就要结束约翰福音的所有分享了。如果你这段时间一直在听我们的节目，也跟着我们一起来查考约翰福音的话，那么乐心和 Charles 非常鼓励你把你在这个过程里面的得着还有你的感动通过短信告诉我们。我们的短信号码是13229966122，短信的开头请你加上蓝天。乐心和 Charles 等候你的短信。愿神祝福你，明天的同一时间我们不见不散，拜拜。